Hello, my name's Gary Stevens. Once again, welcome to Line of Judah Online. Today's subject, we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, and we're doing part four. We're covering topics number 8 and number 9. Topic number 8 is gentleness or meekness or humility, and number 9 is self-control or self-restraint. Let us once again go to our foundation scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy or gladness, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge against us. God wants us to grow as a believer in the fruit of the Spirit, for they are very important in our spiritual warfare, in our daily lives, and in ministry. Let us now go to fruit number 8, gentleness, which is actually meekness and humility. In the world system, meekness or gentleness will come across as weakness, but I can assure you it is not that. Meekness or gentleness is actually strength under control. You see this in a large horse that's used for ploughing fields. It is huge, muscly, and powerful, but it's meek. Strength under control. That doesn't mean weakness. The people in the world will see that as weakness, but it's not. It's actually strength under control in the right position. In this topic, we're talking about gentleness, meekness, and humility, all meaning the same thing. Humility is defined as freedom from pride and arrogance. In theology, lowliness of mind, or having a consciousness of our own defects. Humility, which is gentleness and meekness, is the opposite of pride. God hates pride, but he loves humility. We see in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 53, says, humility comes before honor. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, and it says, pride goes before destruction. Pride has a lot to do with our own thinking, and it usually involves critical and judgment thoughts about other people. One of the things that causes us to judge other people is that we really are not consciously aware of anything that's wrong with us. Satan doesn't want us to see our own faults because he doesn't want us to have humility. But we must be determined to look at our own lives instead of judging other people. Most of us get too full of ourselves, but we are supposed to be empty of ourselves and full of God. We need to learn how to be everything in him and nothing in ourselves. I believe I can do all things through Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verses 13. But I also know that without him I can do nothing. You see this in John chapter 15, verse 5. We must allow God to do the work of humility in us that we can say with Paul, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. If you want to grow in the things of God, if you want to grow in ministry positions, you have to humble yourselves. God cannot trust a man or a woman in ministry who is prideful. Satan will have a hold in their lives and he will cause that person to fall. If you want to go up in the kingdom of God, you have to go down. What do I mean by that? I'm clearly saying if you want to go up in the authority of God, in the authority of the kingdom that God will give you, you have to go down on your knees more and more in humility. As you grow in the kingdom and the kingdom responsibility, you will have more effect on other people. That's why God wants a person in high positions to have a humble heart. When a person or a leader walks in pride, they will be open to corruption, and God knows that. Bible humility is actually saying, God, not my will, but your will. Remember, if you want to go up into the kingdom responsibilities, it means that you will have to die to yourself more. In other words, there's areas in God where he knows there's pride still, and he will work that pride out of you by the Holy Spirit, but he will not force you out of it. The Bible actually says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. God doesn't do the humbling. We have to do the humbling. Let us now go to number 9, the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. God has given us self-control so that we can discipline ourselves to make good choices in life. Self-control empowers us to be motivated not by how we feel, but by what we choose to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." A person who has self-control is mild and calm, avoids extreme situations and circumstances, and exercises self-restraint in actions and in speech. Controlling the mouth is a big job for many people. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. "In the multitude of words there wants not sin, but he who refrains his lips is wise." Anger is another area where we need to exercise self-control. Not only the words we speak, but also the anger. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. "The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." If I'm a wise person, I won't let myself get angry when someone offends me. Restraint and self-control aren't easy, but God says they are necessary if you are to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit." God wants us to keep developing the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It may take years. That doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit will work with you, developing the fruit of the Spirit within you. As I've said before, it's important for your daily life, it's important for your marriage life, it's important for protection against Satan as well. I want to give you one last thing. Imagine that you're standing in the center of a circle, and the circle has nine people in that circle. Their backs are facing you, they're facing outwards, and their hands are together. They're forming a closed circle. Now, there's someone on the outside of that circle who's running around on the outside trying to break through to get to you. And as that person tries to break through to you, one of those people on the rim or the circle circumference pushes back that person. That person who's trying to get you goes to the other side of the circle to do the same thing. They try to break through that line of people to get to you, but another person pushes them back out the way. Those nine people represent the fruit of the Spirit. The person in the center, which is you, that represents the believer. The person trying to break through is representing Satan. Satan will try and get to you, but the fruit of the Spirit, which those nine people represent, they are there protecting you. Every time Satan comes at you with a situation or a law, one of the fruit of the Spirit has been designed and matured to block and stop and push back Satan. The fruit of the Spirit have been given by God at the day of being born again. They are important to develop and mature, but that only happens through practice. Once again, I hope you've enjoyed today's message. Thank you for being with me, and God bless.